Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. God has designed us to be unique. What we feel, how we see, and why we express is unequal. You have a reason why you are here. He wants to help you with that reason. You are a channel to your world. What flows through that channel is how your world will experience the influence of you. So what goes through you is what feeds your world.
Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-343-8635. Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here in Elk City at the Promise Center. Pastor Tammy Bailey would like to invite you to the Refuge Church. They're located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school is at 10, Sunday worship at 10:45, Sunday evening prayer is at 5, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, Wednesday youth group at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy at 580-729-0956. Drew's Plumbing, Heating and Cooling is located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all of your plumbing, heating and cooling needs, contact Drew's at 580-343-2525. They are a company that cares.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for this morning is Pastor Scott Rogers. His title is Focus on Jesus or the Rocks Will Have to Cry Out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we get started again, you kind of mentioned a little bit about the happenings at your church.
Sure.
But would you like to make any announcements?
Sure can. Sure can. So, this is Holy Week. Again, this, we're recording this on Tuesday. Thursday night, we will have a service at 6:30 at Elk City United Methodist Church, and at 4:30 at Eric United Methodist Church. And then on Friday at 7 o'clock at Elk City United Methodist Church, we'll have a Good Friday service. And then, of course, all of our Easter services, Eric at 9 a.m., Chapel Hill and just south of Clinton at 11, and then course at Elk City United Methodist Church at 9 and 11. So a full full complement of worship opportunities for you, for us. And you know, it's one of those things we talk about. I mean, obviously it's probably our busiest week of the year, obviously, and yet it's, even for us, that again, professional clergy who do this year in, year out, it is a week that we try not to rush, and we try to take everything in as well, because it really is the week that changed the world. And so I would encourage you, whether it's, again, you're always welcome to come to Elk City UMC or any of the churches that I mentioned. But if you have a home church, I certainly encourage you. This is the time you should be going, just again, to be with other Christians as you share the word of God, especially the stories, some of the deepest and most incredible stories of our faith. So I just want to always make that announcement, you know. You're always welcome, but if you have a church, go be there. Right. You know, I believe in that stuff, so go be there. Okay, so I said that we were going to talk a little bit about the other side, and that is what happens when we don't focus. Well, we started that conversation a little bit. When we stop focusing on Jesus, things begin to change. Mm-hmm. That seems obvious, right? And maybe it is obvious, but the reality is, if you look scripturally, over the course of the next couple of days after the Mount of Olives, things things begin to happen. He doesn't march into Pilate's house and kick him out. He doesn't confront the Romans at the gate. You know? He doesn't go around to the clandestine meetings and go, all right, I need all y'all to take up, get your weapons ready. We're going to march, you know, on Tuesday afternoon. We're going to march to, you know. We don't have any of that. Instead, we get some very strange stories about Jesus going to the temple and cleaning out the temple. Wait a minute, why would he come to the house, right? That seems a little odd. You know, you've turned this into a den of robbers, a house of prayer, right? You see him having conversations, but they're not revolutionary. Now, they are revolutionary in terms of the faith, but that's not what they were looking for, right? So again, if you're focused on the things that you want and the things you're focused on, he's not fulfilling what you kind of hoped for. And just as quickly as rumors spread, remember at the beginning I told you that people were hearing, you know, gosh, this guy from Galilee, this rabbi from Galilee is doing all this cool stuff. He's about to come down the Mount of Olives, blah, blah, blah. Now they're hearing from some other folks, many of the chief priests and the teachers of the law, who are saying this guy is a rebel rouser. He's an insurrectionist. Because one of the things, if you know your history, is that insurrections were actually very common around the time of Passover. A Jewish revolt would spring up, and it would be squashed. One of the things that brought every single year was the Roman governor would come into Jerusalem during Passover. See, Pontius Pilate actually lived in Caesarea, which is near the coast. But he's in Jerusalem because every Roman prefect that's serving Jerusalem comes to Jerusalem during Passover, because if there's going to be some trouble, it's going to be right now. And where Pilate goes, legions of Roman officers and guards come with him. So in a city that is already cramped, it is one of the three pilgrimage feasts. So faithful Jews from all over the known world are coming to Jerusalem. You have an influx of all these Romans. It's a powder keg. And we've seen it, if you know your history, multiple times before. And so imagine them saying, do you want Pilate to come down on us again? Because when Pilate comes down on you, he doesn't care if you're part of that group. If you're near them, the Roman soldiers are going to wipe you out. All right? They might arrest you just because. Do you really want Pilate to come down on us? Listen to what this guy's saying. He's a blasphemer. He's talking about things like forgiving sin. That's only what God can do. You're going to let this guy, this rabbi from the north, you're going to let him convince you that he can forgive sin? That's blasphemy. And again, if you're listening to this, we sometimes say, well, I can't believe they would do that. Can't you? And so all of these things are happening because one of the things that Pilate has done before, this is, we know this from different times in history. Other Roman prefects have done it as well. The Passover, again, one of the top three pilgrimage feasts. You know, the Passover, of course, is when we remember when the angel passes over and the people are able to exit Egypt. One of the things that is always threatened is that the Roman guards will shut down the temple. Well, that's a pilgrimage. You're supposed to go worship at the temple. What if the Romans shut it down? That's a real possibility. And so they began to sow these seeds. And when you begin to focus on these seeds being sown, guess where your focus is not? And over the course of that week, began to change. And by the time we get to Friday, they're focused on Jesus, all right. But they're focused on crowns of thorns, floggings, and crucifixion. Well, I would never say that. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I mean, I would never do that, really. See, one of the things that Paul doesn't let us get away with, and it's one of the reasons that you need the Apostle Paul's writings, is Paul says it's our sin that puts him there. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you would. When we don't focus on Jesus, crucifixion is 100% a possibility of us joining that crowd. Where we look right, some of the things we say even sound right. But instead of Hosanna, now it's crucify. And think about those rocks. They're having to cry out now because the people won't. Even that gaggle that I mentioned, you know, that came in with him. Remember, he didn't come in with an army. He came in with a gaggle of tax collectors and fishermen, right? Even they run away. I often will use the line, the one who denied him, Peter, the one who betrayed him, Judas, and the 10 that ran away. So not only was Jesus abandoned by the crowd, but abandoned by the 12 that no doubt were the closest to him. That's why at the cross you end up seeing Mary and Mary the mother, Mary his mother, you see Mary Magdalene there. Some gospels you see John, but you don't see all the rest of them. They're not there. It's very telling, isn't it? Mm-hmm. When you think of it from that perspective, how quickly things change. Again, it's one of those weird phenomena because on the surface, I remember I told you as a teenage kid, I just couldn't fathom that things could change that quickly. You know, I just couldn't in my head wrap around Hosanna to crucify in 4 days, 5 days. And yet, now, looking backwards at it, thinking about what I think about life today, can. And not only can I, I've participated in it. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when we stop focusing on Jesus. We make the rocks cry out. Because we stop crying out. The rocks have to proclaim Jesus' greatness and mercy and love because we stop doing that. And even so much more, we don't just stop proclaiming Jesus. We shout things like, crucify! Mm-hmm. So what's the alternative? What's the alternative? It's to stay focused. I love that the two Marys are still there. His mother, Mary Magdalene. I am so thankful they're still there. They didn't go anywhere. We have a beautiful scene on the Via Dolorosa of him meeting his mother. Even, by the way, on the cross. Taking care of the sins of the whole world and yet still took care of his mother. This is your mother. This is your son. Remember that? Mm-hmm. But she didn't. Even the women on Sunday, you don't see any of the disciples going to take care of him, do you? They didn't show up the first day of the week. I've often said this. So, I don't know if either one of you have ever been to the Passion Play down in Holy City, down in Lawton. But I went to a Passion Play one time in Eureka Springs. And you know, it's in the side of a hill, and you kind of sit in an amphitheater. It's beautiful,
right?
And it's a neat setting to watch the whole story and that kind of theater production, but it's beautiful. And I've often thought, gosh, what if they'd been sitting on, like, you know, the hill over from the tomb? And like, you know, this is Scott's world. Got my popcorn and my Coke Zero. Watching the tomb open up, and there he comes walking out. But none of them were there. Not even Peter. Not John, the beloved disciple. Not Thomas, who would eventually go all the way to India with the message. Not Andrew or Matthew or any of them. They weren't sitting on that hill. They were up in an upper room locked behind closed doors because their focus had changed. Because I don't know if you know this, but in the first century, if you follow an insurrectionist, which, by the way, only the worst of the worst are killed on a cross, insurrectionists and criminals. Jesus was definitely viewed as an insurrectionist. Followers of the insurrectionists suffer the same fate as their leader. That's why you watch the disciples are behind closed doors, locked doors. The Gospels absolutely use that. That is not a frivolous fact when you read the Gospels. The Gospels record they were in the upper room behind locked doors. That is, you're supposed to recognize that. Because what if they come get us? Now, do I blame them for that? No. Because I don't know how much I like persecution either, do you?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Now, it says, now Jesus, by the way, said, take up your cross and follow me. What part of that don't we like? Take up the cross part. Right? I like the follow me part. I can live with that, but the take up the cross part, I just want parts of Jesus. Do you see all this coming to fruition now? Mm-hmm. How all this comes together? We don't see that until the very last moments when we see Jesus resurrected. He comes and meets them. He talks to them. He empowers them. He restores them. But think of what it took to get from this moment to the book of Acts. Oh, it's crazy amount of things that have to happen between then and then before they actually get it and start actually going out and doing something, right? Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you focus on Jesus. Probably my favorite chapter in the entire scripture is John 21. And when Peter's reinstated by the Sea of Galilee. And I think about, you know, 53 days after Peter says, no, I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him. He preaches a sermon on the steps of the temple and 3,000 people convert that day. That's what happens when you focus on Jesus. Mm-hmm. Thomas, you're right, for the guy, if I have to put my fingers in his hands and right in his side, that guy goes all the way traditionally to India, all the way to the end of the known world, preaching the good news. We know that we have the gospel that went all the way to Ethiopia and all the way up into Europe and all around. And then, of course, we have all the disciples. Now, we know that, again, traditionally speaking, all of them were martyred except for John. They were all eventually they took up their cross and followed him. But because of their witness, look at where we are today. Christianity is has spread all over the globe. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you focus on Jesus. When you focus on Jesus, the love of God spreads incredibly. The kingdom of God becomes a now and a not yet. It's here today, and the kingdom continues tomorrow. You see all of those things working in conjunction with one another when we focus on Jesus. But when we don't, the ramifications of that are real. And so I think what I want to end with today, again, this for those that are in liturgical churches, the 40 days, not counting Sundays, but the 40 days prior to Easter we call Lent, the season of Lent. And in Lent we do things, we talk about introspection and reflection and looking inward, asking ourselves these hard questions. And I think the hard question today is, are you focusing on Jesus? Sure, absolutely, yes, right? But are you focusing on just the parts of Jesus you like? Or are you focusing on Jesus? So it's not just, I love you, but it's I love you and I expect you to love your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, I forgive you. It's, I forgive you and I expect you to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, hey, I'll take care of you. It is, take care of your enemies. Do we focus on Jesus? And I think the question I want to end today is this. When you do that introspection and you ask yourself, are you focusing on Jesus? Are the rocks having to cry out for you? Or are you doing it yourself? That's what we're going to end today.
That was heavy stuff. You know what, in the beginning when you were talking about all of the excitement, it was because they were hearing the stories.
Mm-hmm.
How much excitement could we build and get the attention and the focus on Jesus if we would tell our stories?
That part of the story is exactly what I would hope to hear. I can only imagine how those stories spread. You know, again, word of mouth, so much more. I mean, it's important today, don't get me wrong, but we have other media opportunity.
I think word of mouth is still really, powerful because there's a lot of censorship too.
Well, not just that, but it's also important. If I hear it from you, I trust you.
Right.
If I hear it from the news, I got to kind of think about it, right?
Yes.
But if I hear it from you, I trust you. And you heard it from someone you trust. You know, there's kind of this trust factor. And they were truly, I don't have any doubt that the people who lined the road on Palm Sunday did it with genuine heart.
Mm-hmm.
Don't misunderstand me. I don't want it to be misunderstood that I think they were doing anything other than what I pray they would do. It's just there were other things going on, that expectation, that anticipation, that I think got to them by the end of the week that it wasn't being fulfilled. You know, that's why I used the image, of course, at the beginning, talking about the parade, the anticipation. I loved all that. But mm-hmm. once it was over, then life started again. You know, the motorcycles had gone by, and so now I'm hot, cold, hungry, tired, feet hurt. Once Jesus goes by and on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and there's no march on the, you know, Roman government, there's no take out Pontius Pilate, there's no let's run, you know, take over the temple. Where is all of that?
Mm-hmm.
It's not there. And so I wonder if the people begin to have those lingering and creeping doubts. And then when you get people that you do trust, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the people that are, again, the chief, the priests, and I'm not one of those people that's going to pick on the priests like some preachers I know, they really get on them. You know what? They were doing what they thought was right. It wasn't.
Right.
But I get it. Mm-hmm. They were trying to protect status quo. I get all that. And so when those people are telling you, this guy is an insurrection, this guy is leading a revolution, this guy's got, something's got to happen, you might be inclined to believe it, especially if you're thinking, why haven't we taken over yet?
Mm-hmm.
Why hasn't he gotten the army together and ransacked through this town? Maybe he's not who he said he was. And very quickly, you can move that way. And I don't want to pick at the people, because if I pick at the people, I'm simply picking at myself.
Right.
But what I'm asking, I think, for us, same thing I would ask of them is, but for us personally today, is are you focusing on Jesus or just the parts that you like?
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, do the rocks have to cry out for you? I think that's the question. Mm-hmm. I think that's the question we have to ask this week.
Yes.
Because by the time we get to Easter, Easter again, I cannot wait to stand in the pulpit in just a couple of days and say, Christ is risen, and hear people go, Christ is risen indeed. I love it.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of it, right? But I want to make sure we understand what it took to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens on our end, what happens to Jesus, why it happens to Jesus, all that matters this week.
Yep.
Because that meat and potatoes, that understanding, I mean, Paul says it over and over and over. We preach Christ crucified and resurrected. You see both sides of that coin. And so understanding how do we get to crucifixion so quickly that week? A week that started off so well.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we start the next week, the defeat of death, the defeat of sin. You know, heaven getting the last word, Jesus getting the last word, not sin, evil, and death. That's a big story, though,
mm-hmm.
with a lot of parts. And I think our part in that is, are we on the Hosanna and Christ is risen? We hope to be, and most of the time we are, but we also have to deal with the reality that sometimes we can very quickly, even though we don't always, definitely don't want to, but sometimes we do,
mm-hmm.
fall into the crucify. So
it's a lot like the world today, what you said, powder keg.
I think it's important now, more than ever, for us to be willing to share and be transparent, especially when someone has the courage to ask you about Jesus.
Absolutely.
And when that door opens, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, when that door opens and the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance something, I think it's important that we be transparent and speak about that experience.
Mm-hmm.
100%. It's important that we are honest. The kind of the 21st century word for honesty is being authentic. Authenticity is about admitting there are times I've yelled Hosanna. Mm-hmm. There are times I have yelled praise be to the Lord. And there are times I've yelled crucify. And there are times I've yelled he is risen.
Mm-hmm.
All of those are part of our story. Mm-hmm. And we have to be authentic about that, because otherwise we're only looking at the parts that we want to see.
Right.
And so it's important that we're honest and help people understand. If you've been a person who's yelled crucify, you're not alone. I have, and I've been a preacher for 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to enter my 25th year as a pastor, and starting in June. That's just crazy of me to think about, by the way. but I have yelled crucify.
Mm-hmm.
I am thankful that at times in my life I've yelled Hosanna, and I have yelled Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. But my whole story is blessed by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole story is best by Jesus. Because, and I think this is where I'll stop talking, because I know we're a little over time, but now you got me hooked on this. I gotta say this line. I'm sorry. I have to say this. Because the craziest thing to me, and it's what made the crucifixion so difficult for me for a long time, and this is a whole other, someday I'll do this for y'all. I'll talk about this more in depth, but is the what I consider to be the most difficult line at the crucifixion is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I'm not sure I would have been willing to forgive the people who put me up there. And that's what Jesus does. So for all the times in my life I've yelled Hosanna, Christ died and rose for me. All the times I've yelled Christ is risen indeed, Christ died and rose for me. And even the times I've yelled crucify him, Christ died and rose for me. That's power stuff.
It is. Powerful word this morning.
So
we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us.
I love it. Thank you for inviting me.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and Pastor Scott Rogers, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com.
You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.